Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beebity doo! Yahoo!
Wow.
We are back.
Hey, you're back. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a New York
a month, right?
Couple of minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, about a month.
About a month. This is episode 140?
140 question mark?
I think,
maybe.
Right?
Yeah, I don't even
of
know.
Of American... I'm going to say that probably is it, because
okay.
I'm recording over the old track, which is episode 139, but I don't know if I had the most recent one open. So, you know,
all right,
maybe we can fix that in post if need be, or relabel the episode.
Yeah.
Who knows? But welcome to American Brews and Tunes. My name is Stephen Johnston.
And my name is Jesse Titus.
Well, a lot has happened since the last episode.
Yeah, quite a bit has happened. I have officially moved back to Minnesota, and I'm living in St. Paul. I got all moved into the new apartment, started a new job, and yeah, it's been like a month. So I've been here for about a month now, and it's been going pretty well. It's been really nice.
Yeah, so it's been lots of changes, but we're back.
Yep, we're back for another...
We're back for more episodes.
Like a one-off type episode, I guess, just talking about one album.
Yeah, one album. This week we are talking about the most recent album from the band The Beths.
This
album is called Expert in a Dying Field.
In a Dying Field, yep.
Crikey, released in 2022, so very recent.
Crikey. yeah, very recent.
Before we get into that, let's talk about some bevies, shall we?
Yes, let's talk about some bevies, eh?
Jesse's still all about that sober life. So what is it that you'll be having this week?
So I've got a ginger spicy brew from Maine Root.
Oh.
Maine as in the state Maine. M-A-I-N-E.
Oh. I was wondering about that.
Yep.
And root
it is,
as in ginger root.
As in ginger root, yep. Ingredients. Carbonated pure water. Fair trade certified organic cane sugar and spices. Oh. And it says spicy on it, so I'm kind of hoping that it is a little bit spicier than the last ginger beer that I had.
I'd imagine if it's labeled that, it would just be, like, really gingery, probably.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I also, I'm not sober living like yourself, but I do have a non-alcoholic brew this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got the Guinness... non-alcoholic draft can, because I wanted to see what it tasted like. I keep seeing commercials.
I had no idea that even existed.
It's in a can, and I can feel that little like nitrogen ball bouncing around the bottom.
Yep.
So I'm curious to see what it's like. You know,
that'll be very interesting.
Shall we give them a crack and a pour?
Yeah, let's do
that.
I'm
expecting this to go like really go when I open it because
really
the
fizzy.
Nitrogen thing. Oh, yeah.
I'm opening a twist-off bottle. We'll see what happens here. Nothing. At least nothing that I could hear.
Yeah, mine was really... Ooh. I don't know what the word is. But I am pouring mine with vigor.
Ooh, this smells very, very gingery. Whoa. I'm thinking that this is going to be pretty spicy compared to the last one.
Just based on the smell alone?
Yep, based on the smell alone. I'm trying to refine my ginger beer palates, you see, Steve.
Oh, I see.
So,
I guess. I mean, I haven't had that much experience with ginger beer.
Yeah, neither have
just
I, but I'm
like
trying to treat it like
here
I would
and there.
Have treated a beer.
Like, that's fair enough.
Let's see what's on the nose here.
Ginger?
Ginger.
Well, mine settled like a regular, like when you pour like a nitro Guinness.
Yeah.
It kind of had that settling period, but it's all settled now and it's got that nice little creamy head on top.
Okay.
It smells like a Guinness. It's got that coffee malt flavor, you know, nice and dark.
Okay. Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a try, I suppose.
All right.
As we always say,
well.
on American Brews and Tunes. Down the non-alcoholic Guinness hatch / ginger hatch. I don't know. Just down the hatch.
Yep. Down the hatch.
You know, it's pretty good, actually.
Holy ginger.
Mine tastes...
Woohoo!
I can kind of tell that it's like not a an alcoholic Guinness, but it's pretty close.
Really?
Yeah, very flavorful. It's got that nice coffee, like roasty bitterness.
Okay.
Smooth like a Guinness.
So that's pretty cool.
I would get this again.
Wow. They weren't kidding about this being a ginger spicy brew.
Is it like super overpowering?
No, it's kind of nice. It's like hot.
Oh.
Well, kind of like the spice that a horseradish has.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that, but obviously ginger. And it's fairly spicy.
Interesting. Like,
it's pretty warm. Okay, here we go. We'll do some beer terminology here. The body is fairly full for this ginger beer. Definitely more full than a Canada Dry.
I would assume so.
The actual ginger beer is kind of cloudy. I would have expected it to be a clear, so maybe this is a hazy ginger beer.
Hazy ginger.
Yeah. And the taste, the mouthfeel is very spicy. It's very good.
Interesting. I guess like if you have like pickled ginger with sushi, if you eat like a really big piece, sometimes it can be intense.
Yes, it definitely can.
Like that. Yeah, and I know what you mean, like the horseradishy spice.
I enjoy eating those pickled ginger pieces. They're delicious.
Oh, I do too. It's a nice little palate cleanser.
I think this sushis. Is good. I think
nice.
I think this is better than the last one I had, which I believe was Reed's.
Yes.
This one is much better. I like it a lot more.
I'll have to see if I can find that somewhere. If it's from Maine, my guess is it's probably nationally available.
Perhaps? Yeah, it's Maine Root Berwick, Maine. So it's from Berwick, Maine, Berwick.
I have no idea where that's at.
It's in Maine.
Yep.
I got it in Whole Foods, though. So if you go to Whole Foods, they might have it there.
Whole Foods has a ton of stuff.
They do.
Yeah, more than your average grocery.
Definitely.
Sometimes a little more pricey, too.
A little more pricey sometimes, yep.
But they got fun stuff. And a pretty good hot bar.
A hot bar?
Yeah. Do you ever go and just get, like, lunch?
No.
Yeah, they can get
chicken and stuff.
Yeah, like, I went I don't know, maybe, like, 3 weeks ago, and I think I had, like, meatloaf and, I think they had like barbecue wings and all kind of. Yeah, I'm typically not a meatloaf fan, but I wanted to see if it was good, and it was good.
Wow, I mean, I like meatloaf, so that would be a. Well, I mean, what's not to like about meatloaf? It's literally just like meat with like some breading in it.
Yeah, it's a loaf of meat. It's delicious.
And then you put ketchup on it, and it's like, yeah, all right, nice. It's meat.
But it was almost. It was like the ketchup sauce was like a hybrid between ketchup and barbecue.
Ooh.
It was really good.
It was one of those fancy meatloafs.
Yes. It was Whole Foods meatloaf.
Oh, it was a fancy Whole Foods meatloaf with a fancy ketchup on it.
Super fancy. It was good. I would get it again if I saw it, but I don't know how often they rotate their selections. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably rotate it quite a bit.
Yeah, that's my guess. But next time you go, check it out. And I think you pay by like weight, how much you put in your
that makes sense,
little container.
Yeah.
But there's always good stuff. And they have like a cold bar with like pasta salads and other things. They've got soups, all kind of good stuff.
Well, I think I'll be going there quite a bit because I was able to buy, they don't really have like pre-packaged like beef there. So I had to buy like beef, like fresh beef, like by the pound. Which was kind of fun, I guess.
Like from the butcher?
Yeah, like from the butcher. Yeah, it was kind of cool. I was like, all right, nice. This is kind of nice. And it was relatively good. It was a relatively good price, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually...
Which I was not expecting.
I think it's usually cheaper to go that way. I'm just always too nervous to go talk to the butcher and ask for stuff. Because they always have good stuff behind the counter, and I'm always like, eh, I'll just get a frozen something or other.
Luckily, I was walking by, and he said, can I help you with something?
Oh, so he initiated.
Yes. And I was like, oh, yes, I'll take that. Thank you. I'll take a pound and a half of that.
If all butcher associates would do that, then I would definitely buy more things.
You don't
too
want
to timid
make the
to go
first
up.
Move, though.
No, that's not my style.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, I play hard to get at the butcher.
I mean, there aren't many places that you're able to play hard to get anymore,
no.
Steve. And so you got to take advantage whenever you
do
can.
When you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the bets, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is the third album from the New Zealand rock group, and it was released in September of 2022, so really...
Yeah, very recently.
Literally half a year ago.
Yep.
As you all recall, Jesse had me review the Beth's debut album, which was called Future Me Hates Me, which I really enjoyed. Really good album. And since then, I've listened to their second album, which was called Jump Rope Gazers, and that was a good album. And I, of course, have listened to the new album, which is Expert in a Dying Field, which I think is a great album.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Literally,
I think it's
just
a great album as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's
fantastic album. But they just came through Nashville maybe like 2 weeks after you moved, and so we went and saw them.
Oh, nice.
It was a very good show.
They actually were in Minnesota, too.
Did you go?
It was like a Monday after I got, like a week after I got here, and tickets were already sold out.
Oh.
It was at First Ave.
Maybe they'll be back. Oh, nice. Yeah, they'll be back. But 10 out of 10, I'd recommend their live show.
It was good?
Yeah, it was really good. They were still touring this album, I think, so they played a good chunk off of it. It was a good variety all around.
Okay. How did it sound like the guitars? Because I feel like the guitars in this album are slightly more like beefy than in their previous records, and like a little bit more like chunky and well done.
Yeah, they dialed in their guitars really well live, but nice. I also think they dialed them into how it was supposed to sound on the record. So it's like, I don't know, they knew what they were doing. It sounded very good. It was at Brooklyn Bowl, and the sound's usually pretty good there.
Nice.
So. It was very beefy, very good live.
Cool.
I think it was the guitar player. He was actually the highlight of the show because he was promoting his food blog while they're on tour. He blogs about what he eats for breakfast and like what they do in each city. So it was pretty funny. I after the show, I went and read his Nashville one, and it was pretty good, very interesting.
Was it on Blogspot?
You know what? I have no idea. It's on a website.
Where do people do blogs anymore?
I don't know. Like he has his own dedicated website, but I guess he runs an Instagram too. If you just want the what's the abbreviation that people do? TLDR. Do you ever hear that?
TLDR.
TL like too long, don't read, and then it's like a summary.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It was pretty funny, but very good show.
Nice.
And this, at least the title track in particular, Mark Hoppus has like tweeted about it or Instagrammed about it. I don't know. He social mediaed about it. How about that?
Yeah. Yep.
Several times I was like, oh, Mark Hoppus likes good music, of course. But great choice. Shall we dive into the track list?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Track number one is the title track Expert in a Dying Field, and it is my first recommendation.
Yeah, I would say this is definitely one of the best songs in the album.
Yeah, it's definitely a really strong start to the album. And it's definitely like the theme of the album, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's not a concept album, but it's a common theme for sure. And it's an interesting way to think about it because it's talking about like a failing relationship. And because you've invested so much into this other person, you're an expert in that relationship, but it's ending, so it's dying. So you have all this knowledge, and the field is dying.
Yeah.
It could be I think it's a romantic relationship, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It could be a friendship. It could be like a family member. You never know. But it's
definitely
very well put, very well written, and it's so gosh darn catchy.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things about the Beths that is has always stuck out to me is how they write really really catchy melodies, and they pair those catchy melodies with a really great harmonies.
Yep.
And fantastic guitar riffs. Not only guitar riffs, but also guitar solos.
They have really nice solos. And I read on Wikipedia, I think it was Wikipedia, that they all met like studying jazz in college.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
It's definitely apparent later in some other songs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's as many three-part harmonies on this album as the first album. But they do pop
I think
up.
You're right.
Yeah. I love those three-part harmonies, but great song, great start of the album, for sure.
Yeah. I also just generally like the timbre of her voice.
Oh, yeah.
I think it sounds really nice.
Yeah. The way I described it, I think, on the review of the other album was it reminds me of Courtney Barnett mixed with, like, Jeff Rosenstock. that's the best.
She has a lot of control, too. Of like going from like falsetto back down to head voice or to head voice and then back down to like regular voice too. Very,
agreed.
Very quickly and very, it's very clean.
Yeah, it's a smooth transition.
Yeah.
Something I'm not good at all.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Something that takes probably a little bit of practice.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of practice.
But anyway, the next track.
Yeah, track number two is called Knees Deep.
Yep, knees deep.
Yeah, a great metaphor for jumping into a relationship, perhaps?
Perhaps something like that, but also maybe just in general as well.
Yeah, being vulnerable
to
others?
Probably relationship, yeah. And again, this goes back to you saying it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It could just be talking about any relationship.
Yeah.
But yeah, the chorus definitely gets across kind of the point of the whole song.
Yeah, trying to be like wanting to jump all in, but you're only able to get knees deep, you know.
Yeah, wishing that she could say what she's thinking, or like actually say what she's thinking. Wishing that she could be brave like you, but only willing to jump knees deep, yeah.
And when you're jumping into a chilly pool, I understand that for sure.
Yeah.
Whew. I'd say it's a little bit more like rocky than the last song. But it's still poppy and like an indie rock song. It's really, really good. But track number three is, I think, where we pick up the rock. This song is called Silence is Golden.
This would be my second like recommendation from the album.
See, I want to recommend it, but there's just so many other good songs that are
I
my
know,
actual
there
recommendations.
Are.
But it's really good. It starts off with that.
Yeah, this song's really, really fast. Like it picks up the tempo quite a bit.
Yeah.
The tempo and
probably the fastest song on the record.
Yeah, and the tempo and the melodies too.
Yep.
Like she talks a lot faster or sings a lot faster.
Yeah, it gets a lot of words in a shorter amount of time.
Yes.
Very high energy. The singer, Elizabeth Stokes, said that it's about like stress and anxiety manifesting itself into like intolerance for noise. So that's why she's like can't take all the sounds like would she say I'd kill the sound or whatever if I could. But it's a really catchy song. It's just so fast and boisterous.
Yeah, the I don't know if it's the pre-chorus or if it's the chorus, but where she's saying silence is golden.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the chorus.
It actually, like, pretty much everything cuts out, and there's, like, just, like, this little scratchy guitar happens.
Yes. So that's like, the most reserved part.
Yeah, like, playing on the silence is golden. Like, most of the noise actually cuts out, and then that's the line. It's pretty cool.
And then the song ends with just her voice saying silence is golden.
Yeah.
Really good song.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
They definitely change it up on the next song, track number four, which is called Your Side.
Mm-hmm.
Slower song, especially compared to the last song, which was not slow.
Yeah.
I think this is a song about a significant other who left, and the narrator's kind of wishing they would choose to come back.
Okay, yeah.
vocal melody is super duper catchy per use, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good song. Doesn't really stand out as much as some of the others, but I don't think there's any skippers on this album.
Yeah, I don't think there are either. There's probably only one other song that I would say is like lower on the tier for me, or a lower tier for me.
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with you. I really like the next song, even though it's not one of my recommendations. Track number 5 is called I Want to Listen.
Yeah, this is kind of where you get that little bit of jazzy feel.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say this is like most of the songs have a similar vibe, but this is like one of the few outliers on the album. That's really...
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
Just like
a bouncy...
The chord progressions.
Yes.
Yeah, it's almost like a jazz pop.
Yeah, there's some weird, like... diminished chords that like pop up, and I'm like, whoa, like it's not standard chords that you would hear in this style of music, I don't think.
Yeah, it almost feels like they're doing like chromatic progressions or something like that. It sounds really cool.
Yep, that's that jazz stuff going on. Really cool. Yep. It's just stuff that I wouldn't think to write, I guess is a good way to put it.
My brain goes back to tonal harmonies way too often.
Me too. Which, it is what it is. But it makes you appreciate when someone actually does stuff like this.
For sure.
And I think even though the song's like softer sonically, it sounds like the narrator's like, I don't know if it's like from her own experience or if she's just writing in general, but it sounds like she's fatigued and drained emotionally.
Yeah.
But it will like continue to like try to invest in whatever the other person's thinking. It's like sounds like this nice like little happy song, but it's she doesn't sound happy at all.
Yeah,
that's a classic Beth's thing to do.
That is a trope. Yep,
sad song with a happy melody.
Yep.
Yeah,
happy instrumentation.
Yeah, yeah, very poppy. Moving on to track number 6.
Yep,
song's called Head in the Clouds. Compared to the last song, which was an outlier, this comes back to classic Beth's sound, I think. Driving drums, indie rock.
I really like the guitar tone in the beginning of the song.
I do too.
It's really crunchy.
My favorite part on the song is there's a little bit of a pre-chorus where the drums move to it, like driving on the toms. There's this really nice ascending melody that drives you into the chorus.
Hmm.
Really good song. I think she's just like singing about somebody who's got their head in the clouds. She's like saying come back to earth. So who knows specifically why. But moving on to track number 7.
Yeah.
Is my next recommendation. I think this song is one of the best, right?
Yeah, I like this song quite a bit too.
It's called Best Left.
This is like, they kind of went in love with like a new style of instrumentation, I guess, in this one with the beginning guitar doing the
panning really quickly tremolo.
From left to right. Yeah, it's like tremolo, but they're panning it like left and right, like left to right, like pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds really cool.
This is like the, what would you call it, the chorus? This is the, some things are best left to right. It's like a screaming along chorus.
Yeah, like a shout along.
I guess. Shout along,
Yeah, it's a good one to like,
shout along.
Like if you're driving in your car and you're listening to this and it gets to the chorus, it's like best left to right. It's a good one to kind of rage to, even though it's not like super ragey, but you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. And it's a good opportunity to try to practice your New Zealand accent too. Because whenever they say best left to right, they say best left to right.
Yep.
Best lift.
Her New Zealand accent comes out in everything that they sing, which I love, but it really is good there, good song. I think it's about revisiting something painful from the past, only to realize that it was painful. And you should sometimes leave things to be.
Yeah, and it's probably like the struggle of like going back to some things constantly when you know that you should just leave it in the past, but like it keeps coming up in your head or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like a reminding yourself, like some things are just best left in the past.
Mm-hmm.
and better to forget it about it.
There's definitely some good three-part harms on this song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's three-part harms on the next song, though, which is called Change in the Weather. This one...
This is the other one where I'm not too crazy about it.
Yeah, that's what I would actually say, too.
It's okay. It's not bad by any means, but it's just not my favorite track on the album.
Yeah, it's got these nice, slightly clearer guitars, but I really think I think it's a little bit more their jazz experience showing through. I don't know what it is. The first couple chords in the chorus that keep popping up. Go back and listen to them because it's some funky stuff. Some just off the wall chords.
Okay, cool.
Moving on to track number 9 is my third and final recommendation, and the song's called When You Know.
When you know, you know, you know, you know, you know, you know, you know.
I think this is another of like outlier-ish song stylistically.
Yeah, it reminds me of like a late 90s, early 2000s like pop rock song.
Yeah, I could definitely hear that. Every time I hear this song, it's just this image of the singer pops into my head where she's just like marching along to the beat. Because it's just like a good like dun 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 dun, dun. Like it has this like, melody and it's bouncy. And I just imagine someone like a music video where you're just marching along the entire song singing. it's perfect for
that's pretty
if
fun.
They haven't
that's
done that music
funny.
Video, they should. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good song. It sounds like going like through the ups and downs of a relationship, like happiness and sadness. But when you know it's meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good song.
Yeah. Kind of like a really like romantic theme to this song, which is I feel like slightly different for them.
Yeah. It's for the album, for sure. And for them, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to track number 10, which is called A Passing Rain.
Oh, yeah.
I'll honorably mention this.
I like this song a lot. It's so cool.
Yeah. It's a weird one. It starts off with these nice, descending, clean, arpeggiated guitars.
Yep.
And then it slowly builds with that palm-muted guitar and bass, the dun-dun-dun-dun, that chug along until it opens up into that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- first half of that chord progression, the bass doesn't play along. Like, it's actually, I think it's maybe doing something in the higher register.
Oh, really?
And so it almost sounds like, not hollow, but it almost sounds like it's missing the bass. But then I think the second time they do that progression, it comes in and you're like, nice. Really nice.
Okay, yeah.
And then they go back into the arpeggiated like intro music part, and these flutes pop up out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, what in the world?
Very cool stuff on this song.
Yeah.
Whenever I first heard it, I was like, that sounds like a Blink-182 riff.
I mean, it pretty much is like a classic Blink riff. They went pop punk on this song.
Yeah.
This song just rocks, I guess, is a good way to put it.
It does rock.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
And this guitar was another reason why I thought that the guitars in this album like felt more full and more
chunkier and more dialed in.
And chunky, yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Moving on to the penultimate track number 11, which is called "I Told You That I Was Afraid." Full sentence for a title.
Mm-hmm.
Faster driving song, classic Beth's sound again. I think it sounds like somebody who's like suffering depression, perhaps. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, like that anxiety kind of feeling. There's this guitar line in the bridge in particular that reminds me of one of the guitar parts from Snake Charmer by Blink-182. It's hard to describe that, but almost like that Eastern intervals that they play. And it's weird. It's really like strange sounding.
Like Middle Eastern? You're talking about like the harmonic minors and such?
Yes. A couple weird things in there. Not like 100%, but they throw in some weird intervals that will pique your ears when you listen to them. You're like, oh.
I'll have to go back and listen to it then. I don't recall any of those.
Second, like two-thirds of the way through the song, maybe three-fourths of the way, but it's just in that bridge. It's really nice.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, really good song. And
yeah, agreed.
The last song, which is called 2 AM. This is a good like barn burner of a song, I guess. It's a really song that builds and builds and builds throughout.
The intro reminds me of what's the song on their first full length River Run, right?
Yes. Level whatever.
Yeah, level one. Yeah, this intro reminds me of how that song starts.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of quiet, like really quiet, like arpeggiated stuff, and a melody mm-hmm. comes in. It's pretty
and
cool.
I don't think it necessarily gets as big as like the River Run song does in the same way.
Yeah.
This one just like it builds all these layers, and there's I don't know necessarily the word I'm looking for, but like guitar swells and all these just like not like dissonant noises, but it gets like noise rocky almost.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, and you get all these crazy layers, and the song gets real big. But in non-classic Beth's fashion, it's like a not happy song, and it doesn't sound happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not classic Beth's.
No,
not classic the Beth's.
It's a sad sounding song. Like someone who's like longing for those times when they would stay up at 2 a.m. thinking about their bright future they have ahead, and clearly that's not what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
Just a sad song, but it's a good album closer, I think, and it ties into the overall theme of the album.
Compared to the first song. Back to that thought of Expert in a Dying Field.
Yeah.
That's like even, I guess you could even just apply that to life in general as you go on. Like,
yeah.
Your life eventually will, you know, you'll eventually pass away, and hopefully throughout life you become better at it, but.
Yeah, we all become obsolete eventually.
Path, so, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but all in all, really good album. I enjoy this one.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'll continue to listen to it for sure. And anything else that the Beth's put out, to be honest.
Yeah, they're honestly like a really good find. I'm glad I found them.
Me too, because I had no idea who they were.
Fantastic.
And then you're like, I'll recommend this band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
They just write really catchy music that is easy to listen to, easy to jam along with.
Relatable themes, super accessible. Like, it's the kind of music that you put on.
Yeah, very, very accessible. Yeah.
The first time you hear it, you're like, oh, I like this. Like, I remember when you told me this, I listened to the album the whole way through the first time. I'm like, yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't have to invest so much time to try and like something. It's just, it's naturally good.
It wasn't a normal recommendation from me.
No, no.
Or you wasn't like, no.
What's that Animals band that's terrible?
Animal Collective.
Yeah.
It wasn't an Animal Collective, yeah.
Well, I won't say that they're terrible. They're just not accessible to me very easily.
Yes.
And it's not my cup of tea.
Yes.
Oh, man. Not sure what we're going to do for next week's episode. I do have an album to recommend, though, whether that's going to be next week or the coming weeks. But it's going to be by the band Microwave.
And it's their, nice. Yeah, I've been wanting to listen to them recently. That's cool.
So this will give you a reason to actually dive in. The album is Death is a Warm Blanket.
Oh, okay, sweet. I think...
it's the most recent one. I think you've heard a couple stuff on there for sure.
Yeah, I feel like you have showed me a couple songs from that.
Yeah, there's some. Oh yeah, some really cool stuff on there.
Looked at the track listing. I think you showed me Leather Daddy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely showed me that. Okay. Cool.
And if I'm not mistaken, you had recommended The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold at some point in time?
Yes, I have. Yep,
and
I did.
We never did that. So if you're still up for having that recommendation, I can go ahead and dive into that.
Oh, I am up for that.
I've already been diving into it.
I'm a big fan of that album.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right, good deal. Well, not saying that that'll be our next episode, but it'll be coming soon.
Coming soon to a podcast near you.
Oh, goodness. I'm assuming your ginger beer's still spicy and whatnot.
My ginger beer is still tasting spicy and delicious.
Yeah. This Guinness is still Guinness.
Still a Guinness?
Yeah, nice. It's consistent, delicious. I would get this again.
Nice.
If you just want to crack some NA brews, you know?
Maybe I'll take it. Maybe I'll look for it, even. See if I can't find a... What did it come in, a 4-pack?
Just at a grocery store. Yeah, 4-pack.
Okay, yeah.
And it's in those 16-ounce cans, but they're like... They've got like blue on the top and bottom, so they kind of stick out a little differently.
Nice. Yeah, maybe I'll look for that. We'll see.
Worth a try if you see it. If not, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
Shall we go ahead and finish our bevies and sign off?
Yeah, let's see if I can finish the rest of this in one chug or if it's too spicy.
Oh, gosh, good luck.
For me.
All right, as we always say on American Brews and Tunes.
Delicious.
Thanks again, dear listener. My name is Stephen Johnston.
I dropped the tab. Whoops.
I heard it go flying.
And my name is Jesse Titus.
Jesse, tab-dropping Titus.
Yeah.
All right, until next time, this is American Brews and Tunes.
Have a good one.
Yahoo!
Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity-bibbity-dow!